discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Well, you know the feeling, right? The sting when someone else gets exactly what you were hoping for. A best friend's engagement, your coworker's promotion. You tell yourself you're thrilled for them, but inside, there's the hint of something else too. In her new book, Seeing Green, Tilly Dillehay identifies what that something is, envy. And today she'll share her story of battling it and finding practical hope on the other side. Tilly writes with her husband at justinandtilly.com, contributes to the Gospel Coalition, and she hosts the Green Workshop at local churches, having a conversation with women on the topic of envy. And she's a busy homemaking mom as well. Well, what a pleasure to have you on the road, Tilly. How's it going for you today?
Oh, it's going great. I'm so glad to be with you.
You make a statement which, before we even get to your, really the heart of your story and sort of how you were introduced to this with your sisters, you make the statement that there's nothing more natural than envy, which is such a loaded phrase, right? Because there's so much truth, it ends up being freeing. But can you help us understand where that comes from?
Yeah, by that I didn't mean there's nothing more right or good than envy, or, you know, this is something you don't need to worry about. I meant that envy is one of those sins that fill the heart of natural man, we're told in Scripture. Paul has a list of sort of characteristic sins of fallen man in Romans 1, and envy kind of leads the pack of that list of sins. So yeah, it's very natural, but that doesn't mean it's something you should sit and live with, because it's also terrible.
Yes. Yeah, it's so true. And I want to ask you in just a moment about, you know, really how widespread you've discovered that these stories are as you've started to carry this message across the country. But off the top, introduce us to your family. And in Seeing Green, my word, you set the scene with what becomes an almost heart-wrenching moment in a coffee shop where your sisters are about to sing together for the first time really in public. And to explain sort of what happens there, can you first share what you dreamed of doing at that point vocationally?
Yes. So I have grown up in and around Nashville. I'm one of seven siblings, and my dad was a Christian artist in the 80s and early 90s. So he was in and around music. And when I was 15, he helped me record a CD of jazz cover tunes because I was a huge fan of the old jazz standards, and I kind of wanted to be like the female Michael Bublé. That was my dream.
Awesome.
Yeah. And,
awesome.
Yeah, so then I went off to college the next year and really just didn't pursue music too much. I never had much of a work ethic when it came to getting out on stage and overcoming the discomfort that comes with pursuing music. So, but the dream was still sort of there. And it was a few years after that, when I was a late college student, my younger sisters who were in high school, they had been working on music sort of alone in their rooms. They'd been sort of incubating this really beautiful folky singer-songwriter sound together, and they decided to do a coffee shop gig one year. And it would be the first time that any of us had heard what they were doing, because they'd been working so kind of shyly, you know, in quiet in their rooms. So we went to see them, and I have such a distinct memory of that night, of going in there and sitting in the back of the room and watching as this really glory just unfolded before me, as they opened their mouths and strapped on their instruments. And I was, you know, I felt a surge of emotion just from the music, but I also remember a surge of something, very unpleasant and painful. This feeling of, I can't believe this has arisen right next to me. You know, this glorious talent has been here, and it's not me, you know. So the primary feeling that I really remember for the next years as they continued to practice and get better. And they started a band with a couple of brothers that they went on the road and continued to record. And every single time that I remember sitting in a concert, having to listen to them again with new songs and new, you know, stylings, and just it was like it was more painful every time. I just could barely stand it because the glory was just too much to bear.
And that phrase is so key to the message of your book, the glory and the envy and the relationship between those two things. I want to dig into that in a moment. But sort of even in those moments, I mean, as you looked at the feelings that you had sort of in real time, you obviously have pride, which you talk about, and you marvel at what's going on before you. Are you surprised, I mean, by this envy as well? Because it rears its head at the weirdest time.
Well, I certainly didn't try too hard to think about it. It was so painful and unpleasant and shameful. It's not the kind of thing that you share with anyone if you don't have to. But it's very common that envy would flower up among peers. So it would be among those people who you are closest to. That would be the place to look for where envy crops up, because envy, it's not like I would be sitting in a concert listening to Beyonce and envying Beyonce. not really. Because she's out of my sphere, right? She's in a totally different category. But somebody who maybe a coworker who does a better job than I do in my field, or you know, a student in my class who's getting better grades at the same stuff that I'm doing. You know, it's your peers really that you sort of measure yourself against, and those are the people. That's where you would watch, I guess, for where it would crop up. And it feels unexpected, but that's where it happens.
Oh, that's a great point. If you're tuning in wondering who this voice is, her name is Tilly Delahaye. She's an author, writer, a speaker whose newest offering is called Seeing Green. Don't let envy color your joy. Love the wordplay in the title there. Talk a little bit about how those feelings then begin to impact your relationships, because obviously there are fewer bonds closer than sisters, but how did this envy really begin to shape your relationship with them?
Well, I first found that I was avoiding talking about the music, or you know, I would avoid seeing it whenever I could, but I would avoid talking about it with them or with others. And then there was just a loss of intimacy over time. There was a real sort of estrangement, and that was just from me kind of pulling away emotionally. And we were very close. We were all homeschooled in the same home together, and we were, you know, real playmates. So there was a very real loss of relationship there. And I don't think I came to terms with what had happened until after I was converted in my early 20s. About a year after that, all three of us got married within the same year. And I remember something about having to stand up in each other's weddings and not even really knowing each other. That just really flipped a switch, I think, in my heart and my mind, where I just said, something is really wrong, and I need to find out what it is. What is it that has got me so bent out of shape? Mm-hmm. And I think it was sometime in those months that the word envy first came into my mind. I guess I wasn't really aware of envy and what it was until then.
Yeah,
so I started to do some reading.
Take us into that process, of discovery and of learning more. Mm-hmm. About this thing that you had been experiencing, but really not knowing what to call it.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't find very much to read in the Christian, you know, sort of where I would have normally looked first would have been Christian nonfiction, you know, books. And I couldn't find much there. I found a lot of old writers, you know, Augustine had things to say, but, and then around that same time, I read this essay by C.S. Lewis called The Weight of Glory, which is a wonderful essay. It has nothing to do with envy, but it talks about glory, and it talks about the glory that we have this appetite for, and that we we will one day actually be given when we stand before God and he looks at us either with massive approval or sort of disapproval. Basically, it was a kind of new language that I had to describe what made envy so painful to me. And I think just understanding that I have this appetite for glory, and I find glory in all kinds of different places in creation because God has placed bits of glory in creation. But one of the most glorious things he ever made was people made in his image. So that is when I started to think about my sisters, for instance, and the fact that they had a real glory that they'd been given by God. And glory is something that you respond to. You have to respond to it. That's what it's all about. But you can respond in different ways, and you can respond either with, you know, admiration and, you know, worship of God or man, or you can respond with hatred and resentment. And that hatred and resentment, that's envy. So it helped me. It helped me to begin to wade into what was going on in my heart, sort of at the deepest level. Why was it that envy seemed to strike at the very heart of who I felt I was?
Yeah.
You know, that I was being threatened somehow by the glory that I saw in other people.
Wow, that is very insightful. Thank you for that. Another phrase that you really draw out of Scripture as well is that love and envy cannot coexist. That is that is an awfully profound and upfront truth. Can you take us inside that as well?
Yeah, well, that's straight out of 1 Corinthians 13, you know, that beautiful passage about love that sort of describes what love looks like for us. And one of the first things it says about love is love does not envy. So just right away, you have to say, does that mean that if I can love these people that I'm envying, if I can find a way to love them, will that sort of wrench the envy out, you know, of my heart? And I think the answer is yes. I think, you know, love and envy really cannot coexist.
There's freedom in that. There is great hope for those who are in the midst of that struggle there as well. Reading those first pages of the book and reading your description of what you felt when you watched your sisters, I think was so powerful to me because you can feel it. You know, you feel each of us have experienced it in some way or another, whether it's a coworker, you know, whether it's a family member, whether it's a dear friend. And I just wonder, as you share this story, how widespread have you found this to be? And can you talk a little bit about the reception to the message?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have met people who say, you know, I don't think envy is really, I can't really picture this in my life. So those people are there, they're out there. But I would say the vast majority of the women who I've talked to, I haven't talked to as many men about it. But the women that I'm talking to recognize immediately what this feeling is. And usually, you know, after a little bit of conversation just about the glories and about the things that they sort of pride themselves on personally, they can usually identify where the envy is even like at that moment, you know. So yeah, I've found it to be pretty recognizable to people, but it's not something they've usually talked about or even thought too much about.
Of course, Tilly Dillahay is with us on the road today for Faith Radio. Tilly's an author, a writer, and a speaker whose newest offering is called Seeing Green, Don't Let Envy Color Your Joy. You break down seven different kinds of envy. Can you give us an overview of the differences? Feel free to talk about as many or as few as you like and why they were key for you to sort of investigate as part of this.
Yeah, so that part of the book is just structured around the glories that I've noticed. So it's seven different kinds of envy, but it's envying seven different kinds of glory that I've noticed in people. So I think the first one I lead off with is the envy of the body. This is just a very straightforward, the glory of physical beauty or health or maybe athletic talent. And it may seem like kind of a shallow thing to be envious of, but it's a very real glory, and it's something that's a real stumbling block to a lot of people. I know it was for me. It was a big deal for me. know, especially when I was younger. One of the others is charm and influence. That's, you know, the glory, I call it borrowed magnets. So just the glory of being able to sort of draw other people to yourself just with your personality. Maybe you're very funny, or maybe you're very honest, or, you know, they're just traits that sort of draw people. And it can be hard to know someone like that, especially if it's something you wish you had, because sometimes it feels like every party is their party, you know. But anyway, yeah, so in each of these, with each of the chapters on the glory specifically, I spend time fleshing out what they look like and what it might feel like to envy them. And then I also spend the other half of the chapter just talking about things we know about that glory from Scripture. So usually trying to bring it around to, is this a glory that God has in himself? What does he intend for us if we have this kind of glory? You know, what's a proper and good use for it?
The envy of the body, you know, obviously we can relate to that as well, but it has never been easier in 2018. I mean, we have this entire social media apparatus that we can compare ourselves, our, you know, and our looks and our lives and just even our activities and our schedule. It has never been easier to have that kind of envy than it is today, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I do think it's a different battle today than it's been in the past. I mean, people have been envying as long as, you know, since the fall, we've been envying. It's not like we needed Facebook or Instagram to become envious people, but the images, you know, and the crafted images definitely help. And a lot of people do bring this up. I think it affects all of the different kinds of envy. You can make yourself look richer than you really are. You can make yourself look, you know, better connected with people than you really are. And everybody can see it. All they have to do is go to your profile.
Well said. You talk about the envy of the body, the envy of charm and influence, the envy of the intellect. What is the envy of options?
Yeah, that's money. I call money, the envy of money, the envy of options, because I think that's really what we are envying when we envy wealth. We're envying the options that money can give us. So whether it's the option to, you know, vacation where you want to go, or send your kids to the school you'd like them to go to, or just the option not to be worrying about money all the time. That's really what we want when it comes to money. So
the envy of creativity, that's a bit of what you struggle with yourself, right?
Yep.
The envy,
right, yeah,
of the beauty of artistry, the glory of that gift.
Yeah, one of the things I talk about in that chapter is just the fact that with art, any artist, whether they're painting or writing or making music, whatever they're doing, they're telling stories is what they're really doing. They're saying something about the nature of the world. And if you are a Christian, you're telling stories that hopefully are true stories. You're fighting sort of on the team of truth. So when you meet someone else who's doing the same, who's fighting on the same team, but just maybe better at it than you are, you know, they're more adept.
Yeah.
Your response should, if you're sane, your response should be to cheer, because you've just basically met a soldier who's fighting on your side and doing a great job at it. You know, so if you have the real long-term battle, the war in mind, you will have a different perspective when you meet other artists who are better than you are.
Mm-hmm. Well, that obviously is the crux of so much of what the book is about. You don't leave us with the diagnosis in the book. You know, you have practical suggestions for how to set out on the battle of envy. Would you help us take some of the first steps in that direction? I realize it's basically what your entire book is about, but, you know, some summary steps for us.
There's a whole chapter that's just basically on what are some virtues that you can be trying to put on as you put off the sin of envy. And the first one is love, which is, you know, this language about love doesn't envy. But I talk about things that you can do to kind of fake love until you make it towards the person that you're envying. And one of the ways would be to gaze at the glory, you know, gaze at whatever it is that they're doing that bothers your flesh so much. Look at it without turning your head away as you're tempted to, and praise them to their faces for it. Let them know that you see it, that you're praising God for it. Pray for them. Pray for their continued success in what they're doing. Pray for them the way you would pray for yourself, you know, not just for their, for the spiritual, you know, well-being, but also for their actual success in what they're doing. And I talk about putting on humility as you're putting off envy, because, you know, envy is sort of a sin of pride. It's a sin of frustrated pride, but still pride. Putting on diligence, because one of the really painful things about envy often is knowing that you were given a job to do and you didn't really put your whole heart into it. You didn't work the row that God gave you to hoe with your whole attention. And so you're sort of getting your fingers tangled up in somebody else's job because you have your eyes on their job. But if you would just, you know, work as unto the Lord in whatever he's given you to do, it really takes some of the sting out of seeing other people do well, and really knocks one of the legs out from under envy, I would say.
I love that. I love that way of putting it. We're here with Tilly Dillehay. Her book is called Seeing Green, Don't Let Envy Color Your Joy. Love the wordplay there, even in the title, and that fresh writing style continues throughout the book. But if we could just have just an opportunity to find out more about you, where can we go to head to your website to read your writings and to pick up a copy of the book as well? Where would be the easiest place to start that journey of discovery?
Okay, well, Amazon is probably the easiest way to get the book. It's where I get my books. and my husband and I write together at justinandtilly.com. It's just a blog we've been keeping for a long time. I also show up on the Gospel Coalition website now and then as a writer. And then I also have information on that same website, justinandtilly.com, about the Green Workshop. And that's just something, you know, local churches contact me and say, can you come and do this with us? It's just a Saturday morning usually that we spend a good chunk of the day with the women of that local church. And it's always a huge blessing to me. So information about that, just emailing me about that, is also on that same website. So
awesome. Thank you so much. You know, In just the few moments that we have left, you talked about something which, of course, we've heard about again and again, which is loving your neighbor as yourself. But something about reading the way you talked about it made me realize, you know, we really love ourselves a lot. If we really were to carry that over,
it comes pretty easy.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know what it was about the way you put it and talked about it, but it absolutely just refreshed me. I mean, there's really something there, isn't there? Loving those neighbors as we really love ourselves.
Yeah, we want the best for ourselves. And fighting envy is really about growing the kind of heart that rejoices with others who rejoice as well. You're wanting the true best for others, and there's such joy in that. There's such freedom.
The hope that you have realized, and we realize that none of us are going to be perfect in this life, that the struggle is real, but really we can get to a place where we rejoice with others in their greatest moments. Can you offer us that hope?
Yes, I mean, I can offer the hope of just the experience I've had, the one story we've been talking about this whole time with my sisters. You know, after confessing sin to them and being restored, there was some time taken for us to sort of get to know each other again. But I can tell you, we're raising children together now. We're friends again, and I love them with such a deep love that I don't think I ever thought could come back. It had been so interfered with, but the Lord is just really, he restores that. He restores that intimacy and that love for each other. He's been great, very gracious to me.
Well, there's the beautiful place to end. Tilly Dillehay has been with us, author, writer, and speaker. The book is called Seeing Green, Don't Let Envy Color Your Joy. What a pleasure talking with you today, Tilly. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us on the road.
Thank you. It's been wonderful.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.